Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Almost 40% of self-employed Canadians are women. Of all the small businesses in the country, 16% are run by women. The majority of startups in Canada are launched by women. It's impressive, but being a businesswoman is tough. 80% of women use their own money to start a business because banks and other traditional lenders aren't always helpful. Then there are the biases, stereotypes, and a host of barriers that men don't face. So why does this group of entrepreneurs face so many hurdles? And what do those challenges and successes look like? My guests today will answer those questions and more. Devin Girard is the organizer of the Strike Up Conference taking place online on March 4th. It started locally as an initiative for women entrepreneurs in Ontario. But with more than 2,000 participants from every province and territory in Canada, and many more from around the world, it has exceeded all expectations. Listen to how this happened and what will be taking place. I'm so pleased to have with me today Wendy Curtis, Executive Director of the Northumberland Community Futures Development Corporation, and Devin Girard, the Women's Entrepreneurship Strategy Program Lead at the Northumberland Community Developments Corporation. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
What is the Strike Up Conference and why is it significant? Maybe Devin, you could start off.
Sure. The Strike Up Conference is really about elevating to all women entrepreneurs right across Ontario the strength and investment that the federal government through FedDev Ontario has made in women entrepreneurs. So our goal at Northumberland is to showcase the work of the entire ecosystem. We have 18 other partners who share different pools of funding and offer different program services under the Women Entrepreneurship Strategy. And our goal was to really bring all of these programs together, elevate and highlight the work that's being done across the entire West ecosystem, and ensure that women entrepreneurs across Ontario and across Canada know the resources that are out there, know the support that's out there, and are able to spend a day really investing in themselves and take a day for learning and how to strengthen their business.
Tell us a bit more about the conference itself.
Yeah, so at the Strike Up Conference this year, we've got 18 other West partners, like I said, who are helping to work with us on programming for the event. We also have another 102 promotional partners. So these are partners who we've engaged with from right across Canada, including universities, knowledge institutes, to boards of trade, all various organizations who have a commitment to growing and preserving the skills of entrepreneurs. They've all come on board and said, we stand behind this conference. We want to do as much as we can to encourage as many women entrepreneurs to attend. Throughout the day itself, we have 31 people who are speaking. So this includes our high profile keynote speakers. We've got Manjeet Minha speaking and Amber Mack speaking, as well as several panelists and workshop leaders. And then we're running a series of 8 different mentor meetups as well. So that will also allow participants a chance to go into rooms, have specialized conversation on topics of interest to them, ranging from protecting intellectual property to increasing sales strategies to how they can really create a social impact. So it's over 7 hours of conference content that we're producing, and it will be accessible for everyone to be able to view for the next for the next 12 months on the conference website as well.
Now, the two keynote speakers, for those who may not be familiar with those names, would you mind telling us a little bit about each one of them?
Sure. Manjeet Minha is perhaps best known these days for her role on CBC's Dragon's Den. So she is a dragon and an investor, but she's also the founder or co-founder of the 6th largest brewery in the world. So this is with her brother. So she has a great inspirational story to share with us about how women entrepreneurs can break barriers and succeed in traditionally male-dominated industries. So she shares with us really her entrepreneurial journey, stumbling blocks that were in the way for her, and how she was able to overcome significant challenges to create such a global empire. Amber Mack is a well-known technology host. So Amber is frequently called upon by all of our major TV networks for her expert knowledge on how to utilize and best expand technology. So one thing we've learned from many of our women entrepreneurs this year was the pivotal role technology has played in helping them, you know, survive their business and grow their business in many cases through COVID and through the pandemic. So Amber shares a lot of great lessons with our entrepreneurs about how to leverage technology to continue to grow and expand their businesses.
And I understand it's all free as well.
It is. So we are thrilled this year to be supported by FedDev and have this conference available free to women entrepreneurs. We certainly are big believers that this is a great resource. This is a great day of learning for them and really will help expand their skills, motivate them to keep going, and hopefully provide that virtual interaction, the networking, which still does happen and allows them to make some meaningful connections with other women entrepreneurs as well.
Wendy, the literature talks about it in terms of advancing women's economic empowerment. Would you mind explaining what that means?
Well, I guess we all have opinions on that, Rob. But when I look at it, I look at it as, there's been a lot of discussion. I know that you're aware of this, but the current climate we're in really, really impacting women entrepreneurs in a way that maybe was unanticipated with the COVID pandemic. And a lot of them, and we talked, you and I talked recently also with some women entrepreneurs, and it's amazing the kind of impacts on them that the last 12 months have been. You know, they're trying to run their business, trying in many cases to also handle the family responsibilities, and the families themselves have been in a lot of turmoil with children at home or in some cases job losses. And there's been a tremendous amount on impacting women entrepreneurs. And so I look at the conference as maybe perfectly timed with a lot of the wonderful content to make them feel a little bit more supported. And maybe that's where the empowerment comes from. Devin, I know, has been talking quite extensively with many of the entrepreneurs, and I recently were talking to a few together, and they had a common theme. And their common theme, the ones I was speaking to, was the kind of pressures on them for the last little bit of time. They had winning strategies coming through. A lot of it was their attitude. You know, a lot of it was recognizing that they have to pivot, they have to react. This is a business problem that's outside of their control, but what is within their control is their response. And they were tired. At the same time, you know, the question was, well, how did you motivate yourself? And a lot of what Devin and the balance of the team are presenting at the conference will be on those motivating pieces. The goal is to inspire and make women feel empowered from an attitudinal perspective. But there's also a tremendous opportunity for women to be presented all of the 19 different partners and the kinds of support programs that they are offering, which is part of the empowerment piece as well. So there are supports out there. The thing is, we often as humans, there's often so much out there, you can't hear it all at the same time. Like you got to break through the clutter of it. And in this case, the conference will have a complete outline of what kind of supports are out there for women entrepreneurs. And that's part of the empowerment, is to break through. Here's a chance. This could be a good mix for you or a good match for you. And we highly encourage you to explore it.
Wendy, what is the women's entrepreneurship strategy and how did it come about?
Well, the federal government, I guess it's coming up 2 years ago. I think it's 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, made an announcement on a national level that they would put, I believe the number was $5 billion across the nation through various regional development agencies in support of women entrepreneurship. And there were two streams of that, basically. One was funds from the regional development agencies. In our case, you've heard Devin mention FedDev Ontario. That's the Federal Economic Development Agency for Southern Ontario. And that's who we work with. But there are several other on across the nation that are geographically based. And those regional development agencies, they had funds that would go themselves directly to entrepreneurs in support. And of course, they had to apply like every other government program. And then the agency is dealing with those entrepreneurs directly. And then the agency also set aside funds to be able to build an ecosystem. And we were very fortunate to be part of that. There were 19 organizations chosen in Southern Ontario to receive funding. And that funding was intended for us to service the entrepreneurs, the women entrepreneurs. But also in our case, it's more than just servicing directly the entrepreneur. It's also in our case, and I think Devin mentioned this, we built the story or built the proposal that we wanted to develop something that to our knowledge wasn't out there in Canada. And that was a fintech product, financial technology product that removed the gender biases. So we built that entire fintech product and launched it. It's still in a pilot. We are part of a 4-year program. And so we're almost up to second year, the conclusion of that. So we built that and the fintech basically says it focuses on the business and the financial side of the business and the banking history and these kinds of things, like the business plan versus who might be sitting in front of the banker. So it's all online and the system is still in a pilot program, but the system will come back and it'll say on a pre-approval, yay or nay. That was our project. And on top of that, we are dealing with women entrepreneurs in what we call wraparound services. So the conference is layered over top of that. And we're very, very pleased. That wasn't part of our original proposal to FedDev, but it became part of our proposal last summer. And then Devin came on stream with us in September and has taken it forward from there. And as Devin said, like, it's remarkable. Like we're like blown away by the level of interest on a national basis and also the other countries. I mean, we didn't target other countries, but that's just the world of social media. And but right across the nation, we've touched the pulse. And I think it's important to understand that women entrepreneurs, as Devin said, they just want an equal. They don't want something the next guy's not gonna get. They just want to be pursued or perceived as equal to.
I want to come back to that in a minute. The website talks about women leading the economic recovery. And no doubt it is a very stirring sentiment. But what are you saying about women and leadership in our economy? Can you explain why that is something that needs to be put out there?
Well, why can't or why wouldn't women lead the economic recovery? I think that's an interesting question to ask. I think that we face decades of the assumption being, men taking the leadership role or men are the ones starting the business and being out of the household. And we have seen such steady growth of women entrepreneurs now who most of us had to take that step back when the COVID pandemic happened. And we are the first to stand behind these women to say, we are here to support you. We have services, we have training, we have funding opportunities, and we are here to help you land on your feet and to re-energize our Canadian economy. I think it's an incredible opportunity for women to be the ones leading the country out of this economic recovery. And we really want to do all we can.
Wendy, you were talking earlier about giving the women the ability to use this software approval process, this technology solution, fintech, to apply for loans. And I was surprised to learn that about 80% of women use their personal finances to start a business. Why is that? And how easy is it to get funding to start a business when you are a woman beyond just applying to banks?
Oh, I think it's an ongoing challenge, Rob. And that's one of the things that we are trying to do. And there's various other organizations. So for example, when we launched our Delia platform, the FinTech platform, there were a couple learnings there. First of all, we launched at, I forget the actual minimum loan size, and we got off pretty good, and then COVID hit. And of course, COVID, like that, everybody was reeling at that point, man or woman, didn't make any difference. I mean, everybody was reeling trying to figure out what was going on. So we withdrew the product. But we relaunched in the fall period, but we reduced the amount. So the amount came down to something that was quite, $15,000 quick and easy loans. We were shocked at the level of response that was immediate. And one of the most common themes that came back was, that's the wonderful spot, $15,000, $20,000. We're comfortable with that. The minimum loan size is a 50 to 100. That scares us. We don't want to do that. And so there was that part too, which speaks to what something we already spoke to about risk adverse. And $15,000 is not a massive amount of money, but it's enough to get somebody, you know, on a pathway and get them started. So there's that piece. There's other, there's a lot of research out there, for example, on investment bankers and so on, like, you know, sort of the equity side, venture capital. And women are incredibly low funded relative to males. And a lot of that is just the biases of that sector. We're also, one of our partners at the conference, which maybe Devin can talk more to, is CEO. And they have a unique financing methodology across the nation that I think is pretty nifty. And it's more private money that's going, like circles of support to women entrepreneurs. But basically, it is a private money where people are sharing and pooling money in order to support women entrepreneurs. And again, it's a different methodology, but it's a different style of lending. And so when you do go, like if you're a man, for example, you're trying to scale up a business, let's say a high tech business or whatever, and you're going in for millions of dollars of venture capital, you're going to get the nod a whole lot faster than a woman will, a whole lot faster. So what is that all about? I don't know. We could sit and argue till the cows come home, but the reality is it's gender bias. And so when we talk about biases, we don't necessarily mean to have that. It's just like, it's just sort of the culture we have been exposed to in the past. And the business culture is generally biased. It's not like people will sit there and be determined about it. It just is. And so what we're trying to do is work around that.
That's interesting, Wendy, that you mentioned that, because Devin, I wanted to ask you about this. The diversity of the panels at the conference is really striking, but yet diversity amongst women entrepreneurs is a challenge. And so what is being done to help the wide range of women from various cultural, racial, economic, and social backgrounds to becoming business people? And how is that reflected in the conference?
Well, in the conference, through many of our West partners, there are various levels of programming that support diverse groups of individuals. So we have a couple of our West partners who are focused on Indigenous investments and Indigenous learnings, for example, and how to work with the Indigenous community. We also have the entire Women of Ontario Social Enterprise Network, who's also another West recipient. So there's varying degrees of levels of support for different underrepresented groups. At Northumberland, we took the approach early on to ensure the conference was as accessible as possible. And I think we're one of the few conferences to have it fully translated with simultaneous deaf interpretation and French translation. So we're proud of the efforts that we've made for some traditionally underrepresented women entrepreneurs to ensure it is as accessible as possible for them. I will say though, Rob, to date, so we're just over 2,000 conference attendees here with about 10 days to go, and 49% of our attendees have self-identified as a woman of minority. So either a Black woman, a visible minority, a newcomer woman, or a woman with a disability, or a member of the LGBTQ community as well. So we are proud of the outreach that the conference has had on traditionally underrepresented groups. And we certainly are encouraged to see that high number of women entrepreneurs registering for it as well and seeking out those entrepreneurial support services.
I found it quite fascinating that 40% of Indigenous women are self-employed, which is, I guess, slightly higher than the Canadian average. So I think that speaks to your point around Indigenous women being entrepreneurial in spirit and also making up a larger portion of the business community. But that also brings me to rural and farming women that make up a significant portion of women entrepreneurs. Now, there's a long history of women making significant contributions to farm and rural economies. Wendy, what do you see happening in the rural areas for women?
Well, the first of all, on the conference right now, we're also tracking rural attendance, Rob, and I think we're somewhere between 15 and 20%. And so we're pleased about that. And in terms of an inaugural year, that's a good thing. But in terms of continuing to push that forward, I think we need to continue to do that. And in the sense of, if we think about the farming community, for example, the farming community has some supports from, you know, other sectors of government. They're very powerful, farm credit in Canada and all the rest of it. But I also look at that, and I think I look at the farming community as actually a business community. I mean, anybody that's running a farm, it's actually a very complex business, right? And we all know that. It's not like, I mean, if you look at it from a business perspective and how do we help those business owners to move forward, I think that there's all kinds of opportunities to help them to also embrace innovation, things like agri-innovation and those kinds of concepts. And we can do that as well.
Rob, one thing I'd like to add, prior to joining the Northumberland team, I did actually work with women entrepreneurs in the farm community with a farm succession planning. And it is incredible to see the change that has happened in even the past decade in terms of women and daughters who now want to be a part of family farms and including and taking over family farms or coming back to rejoin the family farm. So I think similar to the movement that we're seeing with the growth of women entrepreneurs across the country, it is translating into the farming community in numbers that I don't think the average person is familiar with. I know certainly in the Cobourg area, you've got a great example of Burnham Farms. Their daughters are heavily involved in the day-to-day operations and the succession of that farm stand itself. So there's some real tangible examples of strong women we're seeing in making their move in the ag industry as well.
Now, Devin, as people might be listening to this, they may be interested in joining. Is there still a capacity for people to join? And if they're interested in signing up, what should they do?
Absolutely. We encourage anyone who's interested in learning about the conference or hearing more about it to register at strikeup.ca. It's a very simple registration process, and anyone who registers before March 4th will have access to the entire conference content for one full year. So even if you aren't able to sit and attend the entire conference that day on March 4th, please register. Please encourage your family, your friends to register. And we can't wait to hear all of your feedback from this event.
Devin Girard, Wendy Curtis, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
That was Devin Girard, Women's Entrepreneurship Strategy Lead for the Northumberland County Futures Development Corporation, and Wendy Curtis, Executive Director of Northumberland Community Futures Development Corporation. I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.